As we get closer to the start of New York Giants training camp, let's take a look back at some of the things general manager Joe Shane has done to get this Giants team headed in the right direction. That's coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and we are getting so close to the start of training camp. Literally, we are just inside of 4 weeks before the Giants kick things off at the Quest Diagnostic Training Center, and we are going to be ramping up our coverage as we get into the start of training camp. And again, always thank you for making us your first listen of the day, or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Happy to have you with us on today's Locked On Giants podcast. We're going to take a look back at the first offseason of general manager Joe Shane. Now, Joe Shane, in my opinion, did a lot of things right. And I'm going to talk about some of those things and how they're setting the team up for success. Now, before I get into that, obviously, we can say what we want about the offseason. We can talk about all the offseason winners and losers, because in the end, it's all about what they do on the field. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, my expectations for the Giants moving forward. But overall, I have to say the job that Joe Shane has done this offseason, in my opinion, has been top notch. I'm going to talk about the different things. I'm going to talk about why they're so important. And we'll talk about, like I said, what it all means at the end of the program. So again, thank you for joining us here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Let's hop right into the list that I have assembled on my little pad here. So, all right, up first, and I think this is a really, really big important item for Joe Shane. When he came in, when he was first hired by this organization, he had a realistic eye on what the team was, what the franchise was, the state of the franchise. There was none of this, we can build and compete at the same time stuff. He did take an approach that, you know, look, we want to compete while we build, but he didn't really promise anybody a rose garden, so to speak. He was realistic about the flaws of the team. You know, he mentioned the offensive line, which everybody, you know, can say, can agree was a big flaw of the team. And more importantly, in realizing what he had, he planned his strategy accordingly. All right. Now, there are some general managers, they're hired, especially first-time general managers. They come in and basically they have the big broom and they want to sweep everything out from the previous regime. They want to put their mark all over, you know, the franchise. They have grandiose ideas. And sometimes you question whether or not they took a realistic view of what they were inheriting, as opposed to just kind of having expectations. It's kind of like, you know, if you buy a house and you say, okay, I want the house to look like A, B, C, and D, and you haven't really had an opportunity to really look at the house to see what's already there and how maybe what some of is already there might be able to work within your grand plan. So it's kind of the same thing for the Giants and with Joe Shane. And I think he's done a really good job of coming in, you know, being realistic, not setting ultra high expectations or making, you know, like I said, promising people a rose garden when there's still a lot of weeding to be done, and just kind of morphing out a plan that I think has worked for them so far. And we'll talk about the plan as we get into this program. So that's number one on my list of things that I like that I've seen Joe Shane do since coming in as Giants general manager. All right. Next up on my list of things that I like that Shane has done, he double dipped in depth. And what do I mean by that? Well, in the past, we have seen situations where the Giants have maybe addressed a specific position unit in free agency and then maybe backed off in the draft or vice versa. And what happens? You know, we have injuries that pop up. You know, they're going to happen. Injuries are going to happen. And suddenly the team doesn't have enough depth. And if you need proof of what I'm saying, look at last year with the offensive line. The Giants decided not to do anything in free agency. They decided not to do anything in the draft because they figured they had devoted enough resources to that unit. And what happened? They had injuries. They had guys retire. It was a mess. Shane left nothing to chance. He doubled down on depth. You know, you look at the free agent moves that he made this past offseason. You look at the draft moves he's made. He's got a lot of depth now for these coaches to work with. And it's a matter of, you know, how they sort it all out. But nobody's going to sit there and say that they're really lacking in depth at any one position. You know, you might say maybe they're lacking in experience at cornerback, you know, behind the starters. That's a little bit different. They have bodies there. They have guys that they feel they can coach up. Shane did a really good job, I think, of making sure this team has adequate depth. Now, some general managers will say there's no such thing as having too much depth or not having enough depth. Perhaps, you know, all it takes is the injury bug to wipe out a unit. But I think going into training camp, the Giants have a sufficient amount of depth at just about every position they need to have it. All right, what else do I like about Shane and what he has done? Stick around. I've got some more things on my list coming up right after this. All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast. But first, Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but without the calories and without the sugar. Most Built Bars contain about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein, and they taste great. Built Bar offers 9 amazing flavors in nut and nut-free variety, plus a rotating limited-time offering of different flavors that changes up every so many weeks. And if you haven't tried their new Puffs, definitely check them out. They're among my favorite snacks midday when I need a quick pick-me-up. If I'm hungry, you know, I can grab a puff that's low-cal, low-sugar, and does the trick to keep me full until the next meal. So head on over to BuiltBar.com today to see what their current flavor lineup looks like and use our special promo code LOCKED15 to save 15% off your first order. Again, that's code LOCKED15. LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm Patricia Traina. We're talking about Joe Shane's offseason, his first offseason as the Giants general manager, things he has done to set the Giants up for success, maybe not total success this year, but certainly to get the team back on the right track. And he's done a lot of things that I think we can all feel good about that, you know, warrant discussion. Before I continue on with my list, just real quick, I want to let everybody know that I did reach out to the entertainer. We are going to do a live show on Friday. We're going to kick it off at 11:30 and we're going to go for at least an hour, maybe 2 hours. We'll see how long my microphone and my voice hold up. We will take your questions. We'll preview some of what's happened as we get ready for the start of training camp in a couple of weeks. So as always, hope to see you at the show. Hope you bring your questions. We'll answer your questions. Just really looking forward to it. It's been a long time since I've had Tana on. He took a little bit of a break, so we're going to have him on. And we will do a live show, and I'm really excited about that. So hope to see you there. All right, let us get back to the list of things that Joe Shane, Giants general manager, has done to kind of put this team in the right position for success down the line. All right, next up on our list, or on my list, I should say, of things that I've liked that Joe Shane has done is he has stayed patient. Now, again, sometimes the court of public opinion, outside spectators, the media, we all sit there and we say, okay, the Giants should have done this, this, and this. You know, they should have traded Saquon Barkley and gotten something for him. They should have moved Kadarius Toney. They should have cut James Bradbury, you know, when back in March, or they should have traded him when they had an offer. Should have, would have, could have, didn't. And Joe Shane stayed patient throughout it all. All right. It's very tempting for a general manager to jump at the first offer he receives, something that sounds good. But you have to weigh out the pros and the cons of the offer, right? If you start and you jump at every offer that's thrown your way, you're going to quickly destroy the franchise. And to his credit, I think Joe Shane remained patient. Now, some people will say maybe he remained a little too patient. And specifically, I'm talking about the James Bradberry situation where the Giants weren't able to trade him and they ultimately had to end up cutting him and he went to the Eagles. Okay, that was the risk that they took. But that said, you know, there were some other circumstances that I think were behind that whole, you know, scenario. And look, Joe Shane did try to work something out. The fact that they held on to Bradberry as long as they did, to me, suggests that they were trying to work something out, whether it be a trade, if the trade didn't work out, were they maybe trying to look at redoing the contract, either via an extension or something like that? Certainly possible. I had heard that that was something that, you know, could have been on the table. They didn't panic. You know, they realized that, look, you know, we're probably a better team with James Bradberry on a roster, but at the end of the day, they needed the money and they knew they were going to need that money. And when they couldn't come up with a way to find it or make it work, they had to move on, but not before Joe Shane exhausted every possible avenue to make it work. And that's what a good GM does. He's patient. He doesn't, you know, jump at the first offer, doesn't panic. He waits things out within reason and then makes the best possible decision in the interest of the franchise. And that's what he did here. All right. Another thing that I have to give Shane kudos for is I believe he really worked hand in hand with the coaches this offseason to get them what they needed. Now, before I go any further, past GMs have done it. Dave Gettleman was known for working hand in hand with the coaching staff. Probably, though, a little too much so. And what I mean by that is there has to be a system of checks and balances. All right. So, for example, the coaching staff might want player X. And then you get, you know, a GM like Dave Gettleman, who says, okay, you know what? I think we should get player Y, but you want player X. So we'll go ahead and we'll get him, even though I'm not so sure he's the right guy. And I'm thinking in terms of back when the Giants got Antoine Bethea for James Betcher, as opposed to Trey Boston, who might've been the better option at the time. Now, on the flip side, sometimes you have GMs that say, you know what? I'm going to get the guys that I feel fit best. And you, coaching staff, you take them and you coach them up and you figure out how to deploy them. So that's what I mean when I say there has to be a system of checks and balances. The coaching staff and the GM needs to work together. Now, what are some examples of how the Giants, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and his staff work together versus how they didn't work together? That's systems of checks and balances. Well, look at all the former Ravens and look at all the former Bills that were brought in. All right. These are guys that the coaching staff probably lobbied for and Shane went out and got. Now, what's an example of Shane saying, you know what? I know we want this guy, but we really have to move on. A perfect example, in my opinion, was James Bradberry. Okay, I mentioned before how the Giants held on to Bradberry as long as they possibly could, trying to make it work. That, folks, I don't believe was by accident. I think the coaching staff, if they really didn't want Bradberry around, they would have, you know, cut him, much like they did with Logan Ryan. I think they wanted Bradberry around. And I think part of the reason why they kept Bradberry as long as they did was because they were trying to make it work. But in the end, even if though the coaches are believed to have wanted Bradberry, it just couldn't work. And Shane, in his, you know, role as general manager, probably had to go to the Giants coaching staff and say, look, guys, I tried every way possible to make this work. It's not going to work. It's going to keep us from signing our draft class. It's going to keep us from having money available for the summer when we have to replace guys. I have no choice. You're going to have to work with what you got at cornerback. You're going to have to coach up Aaron Robinson and the rest of those guys and make it work. So that's a good example, I think, as any, of the system of checks and balances and how they kind of made things work. But at the same time, how the coaching staff and the GM worked hand in hand. So, you know, again, you're never going to want a situation where it's too one-sided. And in this case, it wasn't. It was a good balance between Joe Shane and the coaching staff. And we'll see how it plays out, obviously. But certainly that was something to be encouraged by. All right, I've got a couple more things on my list. I'll tell you what they are right after this. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm Patricia Traina, and we're talking about Joe Shane's first offseason as Giants general manager. It's still ongoing, although this week the Giants offices are closed, so I don't think there's a whole lot of action brewing, but everybody will be back in tow next week as they get ready for the start of training camp, Brian Daboll's first training camp as a head coach and as head coach of the New York Giants. But we're recapping some of the things that Joe Shane, general manager, has done to put this team in a good position moving forward. All right. So we've had four things we've covered so far. Let's cover a couple more and then kind of just tie it all up in a nice little bow to end the program. Okay. The next thing on my list of things that I like that Shane did is he didn't cut his nose off despite his face. What do I mean by that? Well, yeah, they had to let James Bradberry go, and that created a hole. You can make that case. But think back to earlier in the offseason when there were reports that the Giants were listening to trade offers for Kadarius Toney, or that there was talk that Saquon Barkley was on the block. Now, it could have been very tempting for Shane to say, you know what, Saquon Barkley, if I move him, I'm going to gain cap money and I don't have to worry about, you know, the future, because I'm going to get a lot of cap money. Plus, I'm going to get hopefully a good draft pick in return. Kadarius Toney, hey, I didn't draft him. You know, there's a ton of receivers in the draft. I can probably replace him. You know, as it turns out, they added a Wandale Robinson, who a lot of people think, you know, is similar to Kadarius Toney. That all being said, he didn't make those moves. He didn't cut his nose off despite his face. And by that, I mean is, again, went to the coaching staff, said, okay, guys, this is who we have on the roster. Tell me what you're thinking in terms of using these guys. How are they going to fit into your system that you are designing? So after getting that feedback, the question then became, okay, can we maybe replace that with a cheaper option in the draft or in free agency? Or are we locked in to, you know, this particular player? Those are the types of decisions that are going to help the coaching staff. You know, obviously they felt that Kadarius Toney has to be on this roster. They felt that Saquon Barkley has to be on this roster, and they are. And they've been factored into the to the design of the offense, and they're going to each have a big role in the offense. All right. So it wasn't a matter of, you know, the Giants cutting off their nose despite their face, saying, okay, you know what? We didn't draft these guys. We've got no use for them in the future. We're going to move on and we're going to, you know, get our own guys in here. They didn't do that. And that's smart. You know, because again, I go back to how I say some general managers come in and they immediately want to toss guys that the previous regime might have liked out the door. This regime didn't do that. They were prudent in their decisions. They explored the avenues and they made what they feel are the best decisions for the team moving forward in terms of how are we going to get this team to win games and be productive and be, you know, effective. And the decision to keep Barkley and to keep Kadarius Toney is part of that, how they anticipate that they will move forward. So got to like that. And then one other thing I want to mention in terms of cutting off the nose despite the face. I want to talk about Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, there were some reports as well as some grumbles that not everybody in the Giants organization was on board about the team potentially drafting Thibodeau because of his personality. He does have a larger than life personality, all right? Not a bad guy, but he's, you know, larger than life. He's a personality that I don't think this team has seen, I want to say since maybe since Odell Beckham Jr. And there were some reports and some whispers that some people in the organization were like very lukewarm to the idea of Thibodeau becoming a Giant. Well, credit Joe Shane for saying, you know what? All right, look, we know what this guy's reputation is. We see, you know, how he was out in Oregon. But let's get him in here. Let's sit him down and let's get to know him. All right. Rather than go off of, you know, hearsay or secondhand reports and things that happen without us really experiencing it, let's experience him for ourselves. And you know what? They liked what they saw in Kayvon Thibodeau. They felt comfortable bringing him in. They felt that he would not be a problem, that, you know, the football talent, that the personality, it all would fit within the culture that Brian Daboll was trying to build in the locker room. Lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, he's a Giant. And that is a great example, I think, of how Joe Shane didn't cave to any outside, you know, chatter or feelings or whatnot. He did what was in the best interest of the Giants. The Giants now have a legitimate, in my opinion, at any rate, a legitimate Batman and Robin pass rush duo. They have at least three good pass rushers, something they haven't had in, you'd have to go back probably to 2011 when they last won the Super Bowl. All right. So, and the beauty of it is that two of the three pass rushers they have, Azeez Ojulari and Thibodeau, are homegrown, which is, again, something this team hasn't had since, again, go back to 2011 when they last won the Super Bowl. So I really like how Shane stuck to his convictions and didn't let peer pressure or outside pressure or even internal pressure persuade him against taking the best possible player for the situation. All right, I've got one more thing that I want to talk about with Joe Shane that I really like. I don't think, if you go back and you look at the draft class in particular, you look at the free agency class, can anybody out there say that he had reaches? Now, I know some of you are going to say, okay, well, what about Wandale Robinson? He was a bit of a reach. I don't think he was. In retrospect, I don't think he was. I think he's going to play a specific role on an offense that, let's face it, has been dull, has been ineffective, has struggled. So, you know, if you've got a guy who's explosive and who's a playmaker, you know, I know you're going to say, well, they had other needs at the time. They probably could have gone, you know, offensive line. They could have done this. They could have done that. I don't think that Wandale Robinson was a reach in retrospect. I don't think Shane really reached at any spot. Now, what about Cordell Flott, you might ask? If this kid turns out to be the slot cornerback and he plays well, is that a reach? I don't think it is. I think it's a smart move. It's a value pick. So, I mean, just on the surface, and obviously we have to see how everybody plays and how everybody fits in, I don't think Shane reached for anything. I don't think he overdrafted anybody. You know, you can make the argument that Daniel Jones was overdrafted at the position that he was selected. You know, you can make probably a few arguments over the past regime having, you know, reached for certain players. I don't think we saw that in the draft or in free agency. And that's encouraging. All right. Now, what does this all mean for the team moving forward? Because obviously, you know, if you've been listening to the whole program, you're probably saying, okay, great. Shane did all these great things. So the Giants should be a, you know, a playoff team. Well, not so fast, folks. It all has to come together, obviously. But here's the thing. There was a plan in place, a plan that I think made sense. A plan that is going to give this team what it needs for the future, that is going to set this team up for success Now, obviously, yes, they have to go out. They have to play the games. They have to show progress. That goes without saying. And right now, none of us knows how that's going to work out. But we can't honestly sit here, in my opinion, and say that the front office did nothing to help this coaching staff, that the front office just sat on its hands and just, you know, threw darts at a dartboard to bring players in to get this team right. We can't say that. Joe Shane, in his first offseason as general manager, right now, if I were to give him a grade, I'd give him maybe an A minus. And again, the reason why I'm not giving him a full A is because we've got to see it all come together. But I like a lot of the moves he made. I think he has positioned this team in the right spot to move forward and be successful. Whether it's this year, not so sure about that. I mean, I do think the Giants are going to be better. I don't think they're going to win just four games. I think they're going to win a few more than four games. Are they going to be a playoff team? I'm not sure of that, but I wouldn't rule it out, especially in an NFC East that is kind of weak, you know, where there's been a different winner, basically, I think every year for the last several years. So I wouldn't rule it out. But at the same time, I'm tempering my expectations as to what the Giants are going to do to, and I'm going to be happy with just an improved one loss record and signs that this team is on the right track towards maybe making more of a playoff Russell, if you will, come next year. So that's where things stand. That's my list of things that I like about Joe Shane. Let me know if you agree or disagree, or maybe if I left something out, let me know what you like. You can drop a comment below if watching on YouTube. Send me an email. If you are listening on our audio platforms, the information's in our show notes. Hope you enjoyed the program, everybody. Again, thank you so much for listening and making us your first listen of the day, or watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Don't forget, tune in on Friday on YouTube, live show with the Entertainer. And for those of you who listen to the podcast on the audio platforms, I will post the audio after we are done recording live. So that will be up. That show usually runs, like I said, about an hour plus. So hope you will enjoy it. So until Thursday, everybody, have a great one. And thank you for listening to the Locked on Giants podcast.